Hi, friends, and welcome to the By Faith podcast. My name is Christine Hoover, and I'm so glad you're here. This season on By Faith, we're talking about the ins and outs of vocational ministry. Before we get to today's show, I want to remind you that Lifeway's online Bible study, Using My Bible Study, Seek First the Kingdom, is starting this week, Thursday, April 21st, to be exact. Come study the book of Matthew with me. If you register, you get free teaching videos in your email once a week that prepare you for the week's study in the workbook, and you get to discuss the Bible study with thousands of other women all across the globe. You can do this study as an individual or with your small group, but registration is required in order to get the free teaching videos. Head to lifeway.com/seekfirst to register today. Okay, friends, let's get to the show for today. My guest is Marcela Hernandez. Marcela is married to Mike, who is a pastor on staff at a church in Delaware. He is not the lead pastor, so Marcela speaks from an associate pastor's wife's perspective. And I do ask her about her relationships with the two other staff wives there at the church. We also talk about discouragement in ministry, how we can recognize it, how we can respond to it, and how we can help our husband when he is discouraged. We also touch on a few topics I've hoped to cover on the podcast this season, being an introverted pastor's wife and being a pastor's wife who enjoys serving behind the scenes. Marcela covers all of these bases. So here, friends, is my conversation with Marcela Hernandez. I'm happy to welcome Marcela Hernandez to By Faith. Welcome, Marcela.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, we connected over Instagram. Just you piped in with a message to me, and I just thought, I think that this is somebody I want to talk to because, well, for several reasons. We're going to talk about two different things today. But I just did an episode with Kay Geiger about staff relationships, and she's a lead pastor's wife, and I really wanted to touch somebody who is not a lead pastor's wife, and that's you, right?
Yes, that's me.
Yay. So will you introduce yourself to me and to my audience and tell us where you are, where you're serving, anything you want us to know about you, we want to hear.
I'm Marcela, obviously. And I've been married to my husband, Mike, for 14 years. We have two boys, Aiden, who's 13, and Adam, who's 10. And we've relocated recently to Middletown, Delaware from Miami, Florida. So as you can imagine, the culture shock and the difference in context was huge.
That's a huge difference.
Yes.
Did you grow up in Miami?
I did. Okay. I did. And my husband was born and raised there. So it was certainly a shift, you know, in all aspects of things for us.
So how long ago did you move?
3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we've been here, since then, and truthfully, we love it. I mean, the number one question that I often get asked by any person who knows that I moved from Miami to here is why, why would you do that? And, you know, and so I can see how it just doesn't add up and make sense for people when they hear that and when they think about, you know, the glory of the sunshine, you know, but it's made so much sense to us. I think that this has been such a God thing for us, and just wholeheartedly knowing that God brought us here and that this is where He wants us. And we've just been able to thrive in a way that I don't think that we've been able to before.
Wow.
So, that's been so great for us. Yeah.
That's awesome. So why does it make sense when you say it makes sense? Why, what about it makes sense?
Because I think sometimes people think, you know, moving somewhere, it's gotta be better, right? The grass has gotta be greener. You know, why would you leave sunshine and, you know, beautiful weather all year long for seasons or the cold, or, you know, a lot of like local people here are just like, there's nothing to do here. It's so boring. And so I just think it's funny because I think perspective is everything. We love the seasons. I mean, like people, I've never seen like a leaf change colors on a tree before. And I find that like the most fascinating thing. So it's just kind of cool to see how God brings those pieces together. And so when I say it makes sense for us, it's just fit us very well. And it's fit what we wanted for a long time really well.
That is so great. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Thanks. What is your husband's role at the church?
So my husband is the associate pastor of family ministry. So he oversees everything from children to young adults, you know, college age, young married couples, just all sort of under the same umbrella. So he deals a lot with particularly like youth, young families, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine this is not his first position that you've been married 14 no. years. Y'all were in ministry before.
Yeah. So we've, this I think would be our ninth year in ministry. So we've been at this for a little bit, and our experience is pretty much within that age group. Like all the experience that we have been with youth, young adults, young families. So that's kind of like our wheelhouse and just how we're connected and the things that we do in the church.
And what do you love to do in as far as ministry or service at the church?
In the past, I've just really enjoyed like being behind the scenes. I hate being the center of attention. And so anything that would call like me being like the main person for me has always just kind of been like, no, thanks. I'm just going to hide over here. I'm just going to, you know, shelter and bunker down. But I've really enjoyed that. I've really enjoyed just being behind the scenes and supporting my husband, you know, and the things that nobody really knows that happen or the conversations that nobody really knows we've had. And things like that. And now I'm just in a season where God is really like plugging me in places and having me have a more active role, which, like I said before, was something that I really didn't want. Mm-hmm. So it's just been really neat to see God bring me to that place. And so I'm really connected with the youth, particularly like the young girls in youth group. I see that there's such a need for them to just be heard. You know, they just want to be listened to. They just want to be seen. They just want to be understood. And I just really enjoyed chatting with them and getting to know them and just being a voice for them.
That's so great. I love that you're giving voice to the pastor's wife who likes to be behind the scenes. I think sometimes we feel like as a pastor's wife, we kind of have to be.
Right.
Well, it's almost like whatever you are, you think you should be the other, you should be behind the scenes if you're so upfront, or if you're behind the scenes, you should be upfront. And so I'm super thankful to get to talk with you and hear from someone who is in the trenches of youth ministry and all that kind of thing. So you've been at it for 9 years, you said, and that is surely enough time. It does not take a long time at all before discouragement can set in when we do ministry, right? And so I wanted to talk today about discouragement. I think for me, at least, discouragement is what is the most, I call it like a low hum in the background. It's just, it's always kind of there. Not always in a just terrible, dark place, but there's always something going on in ministry that can be discouraging if we give attention to it. And so I would love for you to just, first of all, is that your experience? And if not, that's totally fine. But I would love for you to just kind of give voice to women listening who are in ministry. What are things that you tend to get discouraged by, or you see other ministry wives around you get discouraged by?
Yeah, absolutely. I think discouragement is something that everybody, I mean, pastor's wife or not, you know, yes. Everybody experiences it. So I think that it looks different for a lot of people, and I think it can come from different things or different, you know, happenings, so to speak. I think that, you know, when it comes to, you know, in ministry, like incidents, and I mean plural because they're just always, there's something, right? Something's always going on. I think that it's hard to feel like you can catch a break from them sometimes, and that can certainly kind of just put you in this rut of feeling like, oh, I'm just getting kicked when I'm down, and I'm just having a hard time getting out of this rut. You know, I think that's one way to sort of relate to that in terms of like where it comes from. I think also, you know, I'm not always at the forefront of dealing with incidents in particular, you know, but I am at the forefront of my husband who does. And so being able to support him and encourage him, you know, even though it doesn't directly affect me, it indirectly affects me as well. Yeah, and that can be discouraging.
Yeah. And I definitely want to talk about our husbands in a bit, because you're right. That is one of the big things. I'm wondering can you think of something specific that has discouraged you the most over the years that you've been doing ministry?
I think that it's been really sad for me and discouraging for me to see the amount of pain and hurt that there is, like within the church, and just how broken people really are. you know, and just the way that people, I think, just carry that and they feel like they have to carry it alone. And I think that it's just really hard to find, you know, this sort of safe place where you can be honest and candid and, you know, have somebody walk with you through some of this stuff. And so I think that is something that I've experienced more than I'd like to admit, even for myself. And so just seeing that, I think, is just, it's hard. It's hard because we want to think of ourselves as the people who uplift one another and as the people who, you know, encourage one another. And oftentimes, you know, the opposite can happen.
Yes. Yeah. Well, what about during COVID years? I feel like the past few years have been, I keep asking more veteran pastors and pastors' wives, have you ever seen anything like this, this time of ministry? And to a one, they have all said, no, this has been a very different time. So can you speak to what kind of discouragements you felt over the past two COVID years?
Yes, absolutely. I think that was a huge, I think, shift for me. Obviously, you know, this is not something that anybody could have anticipated or foreseen whatsoever. I mean, even when the pandemic hit, I think there was still a lot of optimism at the, you know, at the forefront of it and just thinking, all right, we're just going to get past this. We're just going to wait out 3 months. Oh, well, I guess now 6 months. Oh, wow. A year, you know, and it just feels like we're all having to navigate this in a way that none of us have really ever experienced. I mean, even in the school systems, right? Like we see it with our own kids, like they just don't know how to do it. I mean, not that they're doing it wrong, but they're all just trying to figure it out as we go, you know, this hasn't been done before. So it's certainly difficult. I would say that, you know, I'll share this story to kind of give you the big picture of things. Our church supports these missionaries in England. And at the beginning of the pandemic, they had done like this video update for the church and they're informing us on how things are going over there. And like everyone else, you know, everything was just like flipped upside down. No one knows how to really move forward. We're just kind of waiting it out, staying safe. And they started talking about their prayer needs and just requests and things that we could pray for and how we would just support them. And one of the things that they really, really focused on was like, please, this is like the biggest prayer request for us, is that you would pray for God to give us wisdom to do ministry in a new way, because doing ministry, you know, how we knew it is not an option. And at the time, I remember sitting in the service because we had just returned to like in-person gatherings and thinking, wow, like that's difficult. I mean, what's a church without gathering? You know, like this is hard. I can see how they have to like reinvent this whole thing and what they're going to do. That's really difficult. And it didn't take long for us to realize, like, here we are meeting in person and yet facing the same challenges of ministry, not being able to move forward the way that we thought we could, you know, or picking up where we had left off 4 months ago. So I think generally speaking, whether you were able to gather in person or not, you know, the challenge was still there. The difficulty in having to think about how you were going to be innovative and how you were going to do things, you know, was hard. And then to add insult to injury, you know, you have still people that, you know, would take sides, so to speak. You know, you're either anti-mask or you're pro-mask or you're anti-vaccine or pro-vaccine. And all of those perspectives and all of those inputs and all of that, you know, I think for me personally has just been really discouraging, because it's really felt like this sort of stone or block that we just can't really move out of the way. We can't seem to get past, you know, we can't do it right. We can't, you know, please everybody at the same time. You know, there's just so many different factors, I think, that have played a role into it. And at the bottom of it, it's just more divisive than anything. We've seen a lot of just sort of little asides, or just people taking a strong stance on how they feel about it or what they feel is safe. And it's just been difficult, I think, to find some common ground.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm wondering for you, Marcella, how you distinguish when you are discouraged, because I think sometimes discouragement, or we just kind of feel things. We feel unsettled, or we feel like something's happening, but we don't really know what it is. And sometimes for me, it's exhaustion. It's, I need to take a nap. I need to stop. You know, letting all my emotions out and my thoughts out, and I just need to go take a nap. So there's exhaustion. There could also be conviction that God might be pressing on something in my life that actually I do need to do something about. But then discouragement, I think discouragement is more related to things that we can't necessarily do something about.
Right.
It could be other things like an event we planned didn't go well. But how do you distinguish this is discouragement and name that to yourself?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a really good distinction to be aware of, right? Like when do we need to just say, I just don't have the capacity right now? When do we just sort of hit pause and identify that that's what it is versus feeling, you know, to the point of exhaustion where we just feel like we just can't anymore, versus feeling really strongly about, well, how do we proceed with this ministry? Or how do we proceed with offering childcare when it's difficult for a child to keep a mask on? Or, you know, volunteers might not feel comfortable being around children because they don't, you know, they're not aware of coughing and covering it, or, you know, just things like that. And so I think in a COVID sense, or in, like in a COVID world, I think that that's been discouragement, the discouraging, just feeling like unable to move forward or unable to sort of recover and be the church, and just having to relearn so much. I think for me, that's something that I can identify specifically and just being able to put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. And do you think it's important to be able to name to yourself, this is discouragement. I'm feeling discouraged right now.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, I mean, when we can recognize what it is, I think we're able to tackle it better and we're able to act accordingly, you know, versus, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just don't feel like it, or I just feel discouraged or whatnot. You know, I think, I think that it is really important to name it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good that you brought that up about sometimes if we don't name it, we can respond in ways that are unhealthy or even sinful. And so I'd love to know in your own life, what kind of responses have you realized, oh, this is not a good response. When I'm discouraged, what I have done in the past, whatever that is, has not actually helped me. Can you think of examples of that?
Yes. I think for me as an introvert, which I think a lot of people can maybe identify with as a pastor's wife too, like, you know, it could just be really easy to bottle it in, right? Like it could just be really easy to keep it to yourself. I'm not going to tell anyone. I'll talk to my husband about it, but that's about it. And I think that sometimes can even induce more anxiety about it because you're just sort of feeling trapped. But overall, I think that talking to somebody is really helpful. I know that you've talked a lot about, and you encourage this a lot too, like just having a safe person in a safe place. And just having somebody that you would trust, that you know that you can, you know, rely on, and that's going to listen to you, and that's going to sort of lock arms with you and go through with, you know, go through it with you.
Yeah. And to remind you of what's true. That's what I often need is like, oh, remember what's true, or remember what God is doing that's good. And when they say it, it's just much more helpful. It helps me to focus, I think, on, okay, and now I remember what I want to focus on and be grateful for that God is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, what is helpful also is just the narrative, right? That you tell yourself, right? Like the narrative that you fight, that, you know, the narrative that wants to convince you of like these non-gospel sort of threads that you're not enough, or that, you know, nobody cares. No one sees you. No one, you know, no one's interested. No one wants to do that. You know, whatever story you want to sort of tell yourself in the moment, or that wants to sort of creep in, is really just something that can be heavy. If you don't really talk to someone about it, who can remind you of those truths and who can remind you of what's really at hand, you know, and just kind of give you a clear head to tell yourself the right story.
Yes. That's such a good point. I think it's kind of like turning a light on in a dark room. The dark, when we're having just a monologue with ourselves, it often turns dark. Because that's where the enemy can come in and just tell you things that are very general, very hopeless. But when we talk to somebody, or we cast our cares upon the Lord, it's like flipping the light on, where we bring light and truth into the situation. And that stuff, that discouragement, doesn't have as much power. Now we might still be facing a difficult situation, but it just doesn't have as much power and as much of the general hopelessness that the enemy would have us to think in terms of discouragement.
Yes.
I'm super fascinated that you said you're an introvert, because I am too. And just this morning, I was thinking, I have to talk to somebody on this podcast who is a pastor's wife, who is an introvert, because I think there are unique challenges that come with it. What have you learned being an introvert? How have you learned to engage fully with ministry and people? Ministry equals people. How have you learned to do that with the personality that God has given you? Any tips or tricks or insights that you have to share?
You know, I wish I had some tricks for it. But the truth is, you know, it is hard, because for introverts, it takes a lot of effort to really push yourself to do those things. But I genuinely love people. I'm shy, I'm reserved, I listen, you know, but once I connect with someone, I feel like that's it. I can be myself. I can sort of let the guard down, you know? And, you know, I would say that just embracing that, just knowing, like, you know what? God didn't give me a gift to sing. God didn't give me a gift to, you know, do other things that sort of fit the typical, you know, what a pastor's wife should be doing, you know, and sort of fit that narrative. I think that embracing who you are and within the gifts that God has given you, it can go a long way. Yeah. I think that you can just be yourself and be authentic.
Mm-hmm. I think going smaller is helpful for me as an introvert, meaning going to the one-on-one conversation or the two-on-one. I'm not good in large settings are overwhelming to me, and I can do it, but I can only do it for a time. But what I love is the one-on-one. And so anytime I can do that, or even in a large group thing, pulling aside with one person and having an in-depth conversation, that is more my speed. And I feel like often for introverts, that's really our speed, that God uses us in very substantial ways in people's lives in just that one-on-one conversation level.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it also lends itself for just a deeper connection and just a more profound way of ministering to someone, even someone ministering to me. I just think that it goes a little bit deeper. You're able to just kind of dig in. Yeah.
Yeah. Introverts unite. We need our introverts. Well, you mentioned earlier helping your husband navigate discouragement. I think this is, for me, I would rather be discouraged any day than for my husband to be discouraged, because I want him to be secure in knowing that God is using him. And I see his gifts. I see what God does in him. And so when he gets discouraged, it's just really hard for me to know how to help him. And so I'm wondering how you, and I know each marriage is different. Your husband may respond differently than another person's husband. But for you, Marcella, how have you learned to respond to your husband when he's discouraged?
Yeah. I mean, I think that in those trenches, there, you know, there's lots of communicating, right? We're always processing. We're always talking, you know, and today's perspective might be different than tomorrow's, you know, or than it was yesterday. I think that just sort of the evolution of when you're processing things together, I think it could really bring you closer together and just help understand one another better and understand what those needs are. And like you said, you know, every marriage is different and everyone's needs are different. And so just to be able to recognize what those needs are and when to sort of execute them is helpful. And I know for Mike and I, you know, there's days that we just don't need to talk about it. And getting out of the house is what helps, and getting out of the house is what we needed. Going for a walk together. I mean, it could be a number of things, but just knowing when the time is right for those things, I think is pretty key.
The time is right for those conversations about the discouragement.
Yes. So for the conversations, or just to know what to do to encourage your spouse.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that you mentioned that about getting out of it and just kind of being. That is so helpful for me and for my husband, is just to remove ourselves from. A lot of times I think when we're discouraged, we think we got to diagnose it and we just go immediately to analyze it, and we could talk for hours about it. And sometimes that is the right thing, but sometimes we need to remove ourselves from it and remember we are human beings. We need to recreate. We need to just do something that has nothing to do with ministry. And a lot of times when I do that, it's kind of like I tell my kids, you just need to go to bed. And then tomorrow's a new day. God's mercies are new tomorrow. And when you get up, it's not going to feel as much as it feels right now. You know, yeah. There's something about, I keep mentioning sleep, but there's something about that for me that is a reset. But also a reset, like you said, just removing yourself from it and doing something different. And then it almost like your brain works a certain way where it just, okay, we can see it a little more clearly after we've given it less oxygen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really good. I think also that other pastors' wives are a source of encouragement. Do you have other, I know you must have at least one other staff yes. wife. How many, yes. how many do you guys have at your church?
We have two, it's myself and two other wives.
Okay.
So three of us.
Do you find like I do that the other pastors' wives can be a source of encouragement?
Yes, absolutely. And if I could just say, right where we are right now, I mean, we're fortunate to be where we are right now, but it hasn't always been this way. I've had a fair share of years of just being alone and not having even the senior pastor's wife, like just there being a significant disconnect. And I think that that's difficult. And I know that a lot of people might find themselves in that position. And I would say that, you know, there's beauty in that loneliness, right? Like there's something that can really come out of that. If we really lean into it, but it could be really difficult because if we don't have a support system, it's just so isolating, you know?
Yes. And it could almost double the discouragement.
Yes. During that time where it was lonely, to the point where like, you just want to give up. You're just feeling like this is not even worth it. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to live like this. I think that during that time, I'm able to look back on it now and see all that God was doing and see how God was working and see how God was preparing. But I know that in the moment, it doesn't feel that way. In the moment, you really just don't see those things. So if we could just sort of remind ourselves that this too shall pass and that this is not always going to be the case. I mean, God didn't create us to be alone and be lonely. So to just find encouragement in that, in the sense of knowing that there's hope and knowing that you're not alone and that you can find encouragement with other people. Like if it's not in your own church, there was an episode you did not too long ago about that too, of just go outside of your own four walls, you know, maybe connect with the pastor's wife from another church.
Yes.
You know, so I think that that's really helpful too.
I'm so glad that you gave voice to what you just did, because I think that is a common experience. Not everyone gets along great with all the other pastor's wives at the church, or they're by themselves. Their husband's right. The only one.
That's true.
And so that in itself is a different type of loneliness. I've experienced that myself, what you described. And I agree with you. I think loneliness, God sometimes, I don't think he wants us to necessarily feel isolated and alone. I think there's a difference between loneliness and isolation, but I think he can use, and he did use that time of loneliness to draw me to him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's what you're referring to. I want to ask you about that. What was the gift of the loneliness? I don't remember if you used the word gift, but you described it that way.
Yeah. Just that there was beauty in that, in just how God can really turn things around, and he does it in ways that you don't expect. And he does it in ways that you really can't foresee. Like I remember there was a time where I felt that way, and there was an opportunity that had presented itself that like checked all the boxes for us. Right. And just a situation where it was like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I need. This is what I've always wanted. And it was great. And in the end, it didn't work out. And I remember like feeling the devastation of, oh my gosh, how did this get like slipped from under us like this? Like, how did this happen? I don't understand. And nothing really made sense. Like, it just felt like, God, are you playing tricks on us? Like, this isn't funny. You know, this is really hard. And so to just be able to see the beauty now that God had something different for us, that wasn't for us, and God knew what we needed. And so even though our heart's desires and everything that we wanted was in something else, I think that God really allowed us to see like the own idols that we had And that was a really humbling and crushing experience for us, to just be able to see that and look back and say, oh my goodness, you know, thank you, Lord, for having saved me from that, because that would have been a tragedy. That would have not been the right place for us, or that would have not been good for us.
Yes.
So yeah, just to be able to recognize those things in hindsight and see them, I think is really amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, I as we said, you are not the lead pastor's wife, or however you say it at your church, we say lead pastor. And so I'd love for you to speak for those women who are in the same shoes as you, because sometimes there's a little bit of a limit there because your husband is not the lead pastor. So what are some of the difficulties that you find in navigating relationships with other staff wives, or even, you know, other staff? I know you want to be careful because you love these women that you're serving with, but can you kind of speak to the challenge of that?
Yeah. So, I mean, right now, and I'll speak to like where we are right now. Right now, we're not in a, how can I explain this? Like, we're in a good place as far as like staff relationships go. I mean, we have a pastor who is really a fan of a team approach to things and is really, you know, very encouraging to growth, you know, for everyone's individual growth and like where God is leading them. He's very supportive of that. But it, you know, again, like that hasn't always been the case. I think in the past we have experienced that limit, like you're talking about, and just feeling like there's only so much you can do. And that could be really frustrating, especially when you feel God is calling you to do something, you know, to take it a next, you know, to the next level, or to go forward with something. I think it could be really challenging. But I will say that, and this might be the case for some people, maybe not all, but if there's a like a hierarchy type mentality, I feel like that can be really toxic personally. And I feel like that's something that we just need to be really careful, and we really need to exercise wisdom and things like that, because the last thing you want for the church, right, is for the church to fall and stand with one person. I think that we need to be really like-minded and remind ourselves that we are co-laborers, you know, and that we're doing the work together. And so to be able to work together, you know, as a team or in a particular congregation, I think that would really give everybody the ability to just thrive, you know, in their own way and where God is calling them.
Yeah. I always think of Romans 14, where it talks about mutual upbuilding, that in that whole chapter is about people who are different. They have different convictions, but we are to seek peace and unity, and we are to seek one another's well-being, mutual upbuilding.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, and I think anybody can do that. You could do that if you feel like you're the lowest person on the totem pole. You can seek another person's well-being and good and champion them. So I'm wondering how you do that. How do you seek to be a blessing to your senior pastor's wife, or to this other woman that's on staff, or her husband's on staff? What do you do?
Yeah. I mean, I've only been here for 3 years, but in these 3 years, we've just really been able to build a really well-knitted friendship. And again, you know, just sort of establish this safe place of where we can come and support one another. And so if rest and a sabbatical is what one of us needs, you know, to just be supportive of that and remind ourselves that rest is a necessity, you know, not a luxury. And we need to rest and we need time away. But I think as pastors' wives, we sometimes feel guilty to take breaks or to get away or to just not participate in something. And so I think that it's really important to have someone or to remind one another of that.
Yeah.
And just, you know, to have established healthy rhythms, you know, where you can unplug, disconnect, recharge, and then come back with a full cup.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that. Just encouraging rhythms in one another to be healthy people, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Marcella, for joining us to talk about discouragement and staff relationships. I'm really thankful for your insights today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to By Faith, friends. Join me next week on By Faith as I share two conversations about transitions in ministry. The first is with Irene's son, who talks about her husband transitioning into a lead pastor role for the first time. The second is with Glenna Marshall, who speaks about a very unique transition her church has gone through in the past few years and what she's learned along the way. Until then, friends, have a great week and keep walking forward by faith.